go. And we're going. Go live.
First off, is everybody here? What is Solomon Thomas's contract situation?
Yeah, we're still working on that. There's been a lot of productive conversations here in the last couple of days. Just left some of those, and we're hopeful that we can get this done in the necessary time. I think I'm aware from experience as a player, and we all are in the business of football, that deadlines typically get these things done, and we're drawing close to that, and like I said, hopeful that we can continue to make progress and tie this thing up so Solomon can be here with his teammates.
Yeah, it all adds up, each day. You want him there right away. I'm pretty confident that we will get it done, but it is part of the business. It's something that you got to deal with a little bit every year. That doesn't always happen, but I think everyone who's been in the business has been through it. You totally understand it. I know I think Solomon wants to be here as bad as anyone. I know we want him here as bad as anyone, and I'm confident we'll get it done, but can't worry about it too much. I think it'll end up being all right. It's been good. He's cleared to go. We're excited to get him out there. We're going to go a couple days without pads, which is league rules, but on the third day of practice, you're allowed full pads, and we expect him to be out there like everyone else. As of now, before we came in here, we're good to go. We're pretty fortunate. I haven't had many times in my career where we've gone and we've had no one on PUP, but that's what it's looking like right now.
Kyle, with so many things, new personnel, roster, all of that, is there such a thing as a first priority to establish in this training camp?
I really feel like it was very important in OTAs to really establish how we wanted them to practice, the tempo, the way we worked, the way we ran, just the way you conducted practice, the way the physicality, when to be physical, when to lay off each other, and we'd show clips every day of what was good, what was not good, and that's really what the off season was for. I think the guys have a real good idea of how we practice now, which excites us, because now going into camp, there's two things in camp that, first of all, as a coach, you really think about week one, like preparing our guys up to that spot, and after week one, what's the other stuff that you're going to prepare them for to lead them throughout the year? But also you think about what's going to be our final 53-man roster. And if you're only thinking about week one, it's kind of hard to put all those players in the position to make the right evaluations for John and myself. So you kind of go back and forth of thinking about week one and preparing your guys. But it's also, hey, we got to put some of these twos, these threes, some guys that we don't know if are for sure going to solidify themselves as ones. You got to put them in position that gives us a chance to evaluate them, so we feel when the time comes, we have the best 53 possible. Blitz pickup drills are always usually the most physical because they're one-on-one right at each other, and it's something you got to see guys do. And we haven't seen them yet, especially the one-on-one pass drills too. There's guys you think are going to be your best players in OTAs, and then you put the pads on, it looks a little bit different. You're not sure if they're going to make the team. So we got a real good idea of where our team was coming off OTAs, but it gives you an idea, but you really don't know till the pads come on. So, we're not going to do many live tackling drills, taking guys to the ground. The last time I did a live tackling drill, we used to do it once a year. It was goal line, and 2 years in a row, we lost a guy to a season-ending injury for 5 goal line reps. And it's something we'll try to avoid, but we'll be physical. We'll stay up. We'll thud people. We'll do that. But we're going to try to not take anyone to the ground until whatever day our preseason games are. I don't think it'd be, there's not really one thing that would stick out that would interest you guys, but it's nice to go through the schedule day by day, just what time you want to start at, how you want to do the meetings, when you want to talk as a team, when you want to talk as positions, when you want to get the group together, and just to go through that from beginning to end. We've mapped out our practices, how long they're going to be, what days we have off. We have that all the way up to week one. As far as exactly what we're doing period for period, we usually only go about 10 days deep into that, because you have an idea of the foundation of the drills and stuff you want to do, but then you like to evaluate those 10 days and see what your team needs most. You don't always have that answer before you watch the tape, and that's something that I like going in, because I'm used to places I've been to where you have to decide in June exactly what you're going to be doing at the end of August, and I don't know exactly what our team needs at the end of August. I'll tell you that probably halfway through August, and those are kind of the things I'm excited about, to where we have it mapped out, to where we have a plan, where we can build a foundation, but we're going to see what we need. We're going to see what battles we need to know how to make up this 53-man roster, and we'll set up a practice to make sure our John and his staff and our coaches and stuff can evaluate that.
How different is it going to be this year with, instead of two cuts from going 90 to 53, you have that one cut right after the fourth preseason game? Does that change preparation, how you approach that?
It makes it a lot easier. You know, that last week, and, you know, trying to keep guys healthy, also trying not to risk guys getting hurt, that you know we're in a game 4 days before that, and they're also going to be in a game 9 days after that. So you want to protect guys going into that fourth game, but sometimes it's hard to even field a team. Now that we have the 90 guys, that takes away a lot of issues that we stress about. I think every special teams coach in the NFL is going to be a lot more excited. That's usually a huge challenge for them. So it just makes it a lot easier.
You know, I think that the one thing I would add to that, you know, that Kyle and I have talked a little bit about, in addition to helping us get through that fourth preseason game, it's opportunity for guys. You never know. You know, Kyle's dad used to always tell a story about Terrell Davis, who's going into the Hall of Fame here in another week or so. And, you know, he showed his wear over in Japan running down on a kickoff. And that used to be a great training camp story. So it's another opportunity for that many more guys to be around for one more game, and you just never know. And so I think it's a good move for the league, good for everyone.
Are you guys expecting some tough cuts, some veteran guys? And then who has final say over that?
I, you know, that's something that we'll all definitely be doing together. And, you know, when you look at the final 53-man roster, I always say, you know, when I came here and stuff, I've said all the time that your goal as a personnel department and organization is to build a team where you have to cut a guy who can play in the NFL, who can really help. And it's hard to do, because you don't like to get rid of players that you know can go help other teams. I do think we're in a position where we have some depth at some spots, and we're going to have some tough decisions to make, and it's a very good problem to have, and look forward to doing that. You don't want to try to make those decisions too early. Usually they play themselves out, whether it's injuries or whether it's one guy just rising up to the occasion. But it's, I think we got that at a few positions, where they're going to make us have some tough decisions.
John, you have some guys, potential starters, entering the last year of their contract. You know, guys like Eric and Carlos said earlier in the offseason that they didn't have any discussions with you guys about potential extensions. Have you guys had any of those discussions? And maybe are you looking at training camp and the preseason as an opportunity to learn more about these guys before those discussions take
Yeah,
place?
You know, I would say that we're always having internal discussions, Kyle and myself, our staffs, and we really try to be forward-thinking, looking out not just this year but 3 to 5 years, and saying, okay, let's look at the construct of our roster. But our priority was, let's provide competition at each and every position. And so that's why we were so active this year, to go out and to be able to really judge this and judge those guys, in particular. There's going to be a little more urgency with some of them, but we're going to let this play out a little bit and see how they fit with what we want to do. We have some ideas, but there's nothing like going and actually doing it, and so we're excited for that, as are those players.
John, a lot of your job, you know, is completed, at least the big part of it, stopping that 90-man roster. But as training camp gets going, through training camp, what do you envision as your role in helping Kyle and his staff, or just how do you going?
Well, I think you hit it, Matt. You know, I think at this point, I just try to be there for Kyle and his staff for whatever they need. You know, there's things are fluid during training camp. We're always looking. We're looking throughout the league. We always want to try to improve ourselves as a team, and when we have an opportunity to do that, we need to be ready. And so we're constantly looking, scouring the league, seeing what's out there. Being proactive on things, throwing ideas at Kyle and his staff, and while working on a lot of other projects. While we've been here a few months, we jumped right into free agency. We jumped into the draft, so now we're doing things that really set the structure of our organization the way we want it. And so there's a lot of work to be done. And so believe me, I'm not looking for things to do.
Either one of you guys, we all know what the record was last year, but now that you've gotten a chance to see guys closer and revamp the roster a little bit, do you say, oh my God, there's so much work to do, or this is a better team than that record showed last year, and that there to be optimistic about this year?
Well, I think everyone believes that. I mean, last season, obviously, they struggled with the record. They struggled with a lot of injuries, which makes it extremely tough for any team. And when you see them at the end of the year, there's a lot of guys out there that weren't even on the team at the beginning of the year because of injuries. So I felt the offseason, the opportunities we had to improve our team, we were very happy with how it went. We felt we did as good of a job as possible. So with that being said, we feel we have. Now you got to go out and do it. You got to stay healthy. You got to get guys to practice. You can't turn the ball over. You can be a lot closer in games, and you can make one bad decision, and that you can still lose it. So you hope you do things right, and you do things right, and, yeah, you improve your record. But a lot of factors go into that. The thing that I think about the most is the opportunities that we had to improve ourselves so far. Did we do the best we could? And I feel that we have. And you just try to continue doing that every opportunity you have. That's why when you guys asked John about training camp with most of his job being over so far, and I think what he said is right, that I expect anytime someone gets cut, John and his staff, they've been looking at him a ton to see, is he better than someone on our roster? Does this guy look better than a guy on our team has looked for the last five practices? Can we make that adjustment? Those are things you got to count on in the personnel department, and you're always trying to improve. And I think we've done that in every facet, and it really never stops.
Yes, I've signed several players who have played for you in the past. Did you feel like having those guys, the Warriors, the Garcons on the team in the spring, sort of accelerated everything for the rest of the group, and that you're starting training camp, with good momentum?
Yeah, I think it does to a degree, especially when it's a quarterback who's started or has been played in it at least for a year. You look at phase one and things like that. We're not even allowed to go on the field with them. So if no one out there has ever even heard anything on the field what a coach said, it's kind of hard for those guys to go out and work out with each other. And when you have your quarterback out there, at least has an idea and has been through it, and he can help guys. So it moves it along a little bit faster, but it all ends up the same. I don't think just because on a new staff at the end of training camp, they're going to be like, oh, they're way ahead because they had four guys or whatever the number is that they played sometime in the past. It's all going to end up at the same spot, but it might make it a little bit easier those first few days and things.
Obviously, that would have had the contract situation, but once he opted out, did you consider bringing him back? Was that a thought process, and why didn't you bring him back?
Yeah, I thought, with Colin in any quarterback situation, it was, where do you want to go with your scheme? Where do you want to go with your roster? And I looked at solely into where I wanted to go with the offensive scheme. I think Colin's had a lot of success in this league, and I think he still can have success, but you got to commit to a certain type of scheme that gives him the best chance to succeed. I think when we knew we didn't want to fully bring him in as the starter, I thought that was a big commitment to make for a guy that I wasn't sure would be the starter. And that's really more what you look at it to say, why don't you just do what a guy is good at when he comes in? Well, the guy's only good at that is if you've been practicing the other 10 guys on offense at that too. And that's something that makes it very hard when all your quarterbacks need a little different scheme to be successful. It kind of doesn't allow your line to be consistent with what they're working on and things like that. And when we got a chance to get Brian, and then we got Matt, and then ended up getting CJ in the draft and getting Nick in free agency, we got a skill set of quarterbacks where I think in order to give them a chance to be successful, our offense is going to be somewhat similar with all of them, and that makes it a little bit easier on the rest of the guys.
Perhaps you've heard Matt Ryan had some comments. I've got a two-part question for you as far as talking about the timeliness of getting play calls in. One, is it valid? And two, now that you're the head coach and you're also the play caller, you have to be pretty cognizant of being on top of it even more than
Yeah, of course. I mean, any play caller that you talk to, and that's usually one of the most important things, and something I pride myself on a lot is how quick can you get a play call into a quarterback. And the quicker you do, the more comfortable it is, not just for him, but the entire offense. They're not panicked. They're being able to move to the line. And me as a coordinator personally, I try almost every situation to get in as fast as possible. And I can be honest, there's sometimes I do better than others. There's sometimes I don't do it as good. There's sometimes I do it real good. But that's something that we all work at. And, you know, one thing I could say about our 2 years in Atlanta that I was happy with, and happy with the whole entire offense, that, you know, we were the only team in the NFL for that went two straight years without one delay a game. And I've never done that in my entire career. I don't think many other teams have. So it wasn't, you know, there was times we did better than others. But what I was really proud of those guys on offense, which is a lot of credit to Matt and the rest of the guys, that regardless of when we did get it in, 2 years straight without a delay a game, and being the only team to even do that 1 year, I think was a pretty impressive task. And we did a good job of that as a whole. Yeah, there's two different types of systems, and I think people make a huge deal about it, but some people get right up to the line and they don't ever move. They have a play call that's premier versus specific coverage. They don't have as many hot routes built in. They have guys blocking in, and they're all deep routes, so if you don't get the right look, you have to check an audible. That's stuff you guys see Peyton Manning do every single play of his career. That's stuff you've seen Matt do a lot of his career. Then there's the type of systems that you have certain plays designed where if it's not the premier look, you have another answer. You're supposed to go to the guy on the backside. There's a quick route right there. There's a guy in the flat. There's some type of other answer. It depends how you build your system. There's no right or wrong answer. Both have their pluses and minuses. I believe in playing fast and not having to get up there and sit at the line forever and have to look at all these things and get yourself into the perfect play. As a play caller, I always try to call the perfect play, which doesn't happen all the time. And if it's not the perfect play, there's usually four other options that you just got to adjust to and either get an incompletion or get a smaller gain. But it's not, hey, if I don't call the perfect play, you check and get us into the perfect play. I've been in systems like that, and it's just what your opinion is, and there's really no right answer. But I was pretty happy with how our system worked at Atlanta, and I've been confident with players playing fast and not putting so much pressure on them to fix every play that the coordinator calls. I like to put a little more myself, and I want them, when I do call a bad play, we'll give you an answer. Just get rid of it and go right there. You know, there's certain plays in a game, and we don't have as many of them as other people, where, hey, all these guys are blocking. You don't have any quick answer versus these three looks that they've shown on tape. So if you get there and it's these three looks they've shown on tape, we got to audible to this. However, usually those plays in our system, I just call two plays. And I say, if you get that look, change it to the other play. So it just depends how you do it.
Kyle, on running back, do you prefer a bell cow? Or would you ride a hot hand if someone, you know, had a good game with minimal carries?
Yeah, either way. You know, I've done it both ways. And, you know, we split up Tevin and Devontae, I thought, real well in Atlanta. You know, I've had Alfred Morris, who was our bell cow in Washington, and we just ran him. And it just depends on your roster. I don't think there's a right or wrong answer. It depends who you have and what's the best way to use those guys.
Are you trying to find that answer?
Yeah, that's what we're trying to do. And that's why I'm glad that we get a training camp and we get to put some pads on. And even though we don't get two practices a day, we still get one. And hopefully we'll find that out over the next month.
Just for clarity, on Ruben, when the pads come on, is he going to be thrown right into the full
Yes.
And where do you think he's at in terms of mentally his understanding of the defense after missing, you know, the bulk of team drills?
I think he's at as good of a spot as he could be just from speaking and talking and having an understanding. What was real impressive with Ruben, which you don't always see from guys coming right out of college, is to be able to sit in these long meetings and just watch stuff on the board and know you're not going to go out there and practice that day. I mean, lots of guys, especially coming out of college, have a hard time staying awake. They can't really focus as long, and especially when they know they're not playing that day. Ruben was very, very good the opposite way. And he was into it. He surprised me with his knowledge of the defense, how much he paid attention, not to just his positions, but the overall scheme. I think he's in as good of a spot as you could be without stepping on the field. And, yeah, you got to step out on the field and react and not think, and that'll take reps and it'll take time. But as far as on the board and everything, he's been extremely impressive.
Ruben, did you guys look at using the X-Tech shoulder pads and, you know, see if you're using those? Or
what are those?
Special shoulder pad that he was looking at.
That would be, I'm not sure. Okay. That'd be a Jaybird question. Our manager. Hopefully, if they help, I hope he does.
You guys obviously weren't here the last 2 years, but it seems like there's been things that have kind of hung over this organization. Do you feel like you just get the sense from being in the building that people here are ready to get back to football and have anything about
Yeah, I think that's the case around this league. You know, training camp is always the most exciting, time for teams because it's symbolic of this thing kicking off. You've put so much work into an off season. Now it starts to count, and now it gets real. And so, but I do think there's an eagerness that we feel, a real positive energy. That Kyle and his staff, I think, have done a tremendous job of building and getting these guys engaged, challenging them mentally and physically. These guys are excited to play, and I think we've got a great feel as a team. The players that will sit here later today in our first meeting are fully aware that the offseason is just that, just an offseason. Now it counts, and now things get real, as I said, and I think they're ready for that, and I think Kyle and I certainly are.
Did Ruben stay here for most of the break? And I guess if so, why was that rehab related? And also, do you have a sense of how excited he seems like he would like to start playing real football? Do you have a sense of how excited he is?
Yeah, excited's an understatement. He's chomping at the bit. We told you about how we almost had to have a leash on him to keep him out of drills and all that. We've said, and you guys see us, we start smiling when we talk about the guy because there's so much to like about him. And I think we've only grown to appreciate that more since he's been in the building. He's got an excitement that's infectious. And I think the one thing, as Kyle kind of alluded to, is his knowledge for the game. We saw it on film. He's a smart football player. But now you get to sit him in a room and talk to Johnny Hall and D'Amico and the guys that sit in there with him, and that's what they speak to, his intelligence, his knowledge. He's an alpha dog. He wants to lead. He's ready. He's eager. And we are certainly excited to watch him play.
John, were you concerned at all that after the draft, the rumblings from folks around the league was, his shoulder was a mess? Did you guys any pause and go back and, are we sure?
You know, Matt, I would say that, we pride ourselves in doing all our due diligence, not afterwards, but before we make decisions. And we had done exhaustive research on Ruben Foster in a lot of different areas. Medically was one area. We feel great about our doctors, about our medical program here, our trainer, Jeff Ferguson's as good as there is in the league, our doctors, Dr. McAdams, world-renowned, the Stanford name behind him, all that, and we challenged him numerous times, and he couldn't speak to what other people were seeing, but from his observation, the shoulder was good, and what's even better, I think it was yesterday, actually, Ruben went and got that final ultrasound, final test, getting that text from Dr. McAdams that he's fully cleared and no limitations. We're excited about that.
And how I felt about that whole deal too was I heard all the same stuff and everyone's like, aren't you worried he's going to get hurt? And John, I was proud of our doctors for putting themselves out there and giving their honest opinion of what they felt. And, they feel it is healed and it's going to be good. And I respect them for doing that because they went against the norm on that, and that's not always easy. But I think of always, worst case scenario, what if he does come back and he gets hit and he hurts his shoulder again? What made me excited was, I thought we acquired him the right way, the way we got him. And if he does come back and his shoulder is hurt, we'd have to do resurgery. And it might hurt him in his first year. But we're also talking a shoulder, not a knee. And so that would be disappointing not to have him the first year. But that's not something that I feel would affect his playing career. You'd have to redo his shoulder, which means you'd miss time. But it's not like, how's he going to come back from this knee surgery or anything like that? I'm pretty confident when it's a shoulder injury that if it doesn't heal the right way or something was done wrong and you have to redo the surgery, yeah, it's time, but it's not going to affect the guy we saw on tape.
Just to clarify, two or three non-pad practices before you left
the practice? Two.
Kyle, you look at preseason as an opportunity to see which players fit your scheme the best or an opportunity to tweak your scheme to fit strengths of the players that have
I do that in practice mainly. That's what we do, just trying to get to know our players starting in the off-season mini camps and phase twos even. But more preseason games is to see who's the game's not too big for. A lot of guys can look real good in practice and they get into that game and it's a different story. There's a guy that you think's ready to make this team and play in the NFL, and then you see him in a preseason game with the pressure on a little bit, and then you realize he's a practice squad player. So those are the type of things that you can't always get from practice. And that we really look forward to the games to find out and help us make this. When guys are neck and neck, too, we see it all the time. It's we want to see who performs better in that game. And those are the things that help us decide the best way to get down to a 53.
Without that line hitting in practice, how much harder is it to make those decisions?
I don't think it's hard at all because we do hit. We don't want to dive and take people to the ground. So when two people meet each other like this, it's going to be as physical as anything. I don't know what the rules aren't the same now, but half the people in the league haven't even worn pads in their pants for a long time. And that's because they hit here, and unless you go low and things like that. But most people know how to tackle. You don't need to teach them how to tackle in this league. And if you're not going to hit, you're not going to go out there and do it, you're not going to be on the team. So you thud up, you hit people hard, you just don't take to the ground because that's where the injuries happen. And when you get into the game, all the places I've been, it's really never been an issue.
I would add there, I think it's eased by the fact, I think one of Kyle's strengths that really fits in line with the history of this place, but Walsh was known for it, noted for it, you have to learn how to practice. And he stressed that a lot in the offseason, and I was really excited to see the speed in which we practiced. And so when you can make things as close to game conditions as possible, obviously there's no pads, but we teach tackling. It's the fundamentals are taught on this staff, and we do it at an incredibly high rate of speed. And so that helps ease that transition, and I think helps you project. But there is always that unknown. We used to call it one buck all Americans. Certain guys shine on these off-season practices, and you get out here, and it just doesn't happen for whatever reason. So that's part of this deal and why you're even more intrigued to put the pads on and see who responds.
I've always had a hard time, not as much of the defensive guys, because when you see a guy thud up, you can see that a guy can hit a guy. He doesn't have to wrap him and take him to the ground. My more question is, I think the running back broke that tackle in practice, but you don't really know till the game. And you want to see who can run through these tackles and who is ripping through them and getting the extra yards after contact. And when you block it for 1 yard, who's getting 3 yards in the game? And those are the things that you don't truly know till it's full go.
You guys have a conditioning test today or tomorrow?
Today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not yet.
No, it's at 1:30.
Has anybody shown up that you can tell that's in exceptionally great shape or exceptionally bad shape?
I haven't got all the weights because they haven't all came in yet, but I'm very excited with how our team worked when we were here, and I'm very excited how the guys were when we were away. There's been guys up here a lot when we haven't been here, and just looking at some of the guys just out my window walking around that I thought a lot of guys looked pretty good when they left, but guys, their bodies look different from afar, just me looking at them. I think our guys are ready to go.
Cam, I would say Kyle bulked up in a real positive way. He got up in the 190s where he needs to be.
Yeah.
Now our challenge is keeping him there.
John, what position group are you most excited to see? Maybe not your favorite player, but what position group are you?
Well, I think the answer, Tim, is all of them. But, in terms of I'm trying to think excitement, I think we're all excited about the situation that, through additions and from what we already had at the defensive line position, we think we could have a unit that could really be a strength of this team in an area where it's so important. But you go down every position, and there's something we're intrigued about. The defensive back room is something, again, we think is a strength, but some things, there's some newness there. And so that's got to all come to fruition. Hear Kyle talking about running backs and how they're going to respond. One guy, as I'm talking through this, Carlos Hyde, I ran into him in the hall. He looks tremendous. He really has dedicated himself. He's changed his body type this offseason. And that, to me, at the least bit, shows a commitment. So there's those stories. But we're excited to see this whole thing as we take the next step.
John, you've got a lot of front seven players.
Well, what we really did is take a look. We evaluated what we had. We went back and exhausted ourselves to really see. Okay, take inventory what we had, and we found some neat areas, and we wanted to do that prior to the draft so we could go pick the best players. And then you know, I think we felt like we had done that, but then all of a sudden some players became available that we were really excited about that we felt we could even add to. And so some of it by design, some of it circumstance, what was available to us and what we were excited about at the time. But I can tell you that we're excited about that whole entire unit.
Last one, guys.
I was saying hopeful that the Thomas thing will be resolved soon, but the fact that he was a deal for during the offseason, is there a point at which it gets, you know, concerning about him being able to pick everything up and be ready for the regular season?
Yeah, you know, I'm concerned right now. I wish this were done. You know, I think it should be done. You know, and disappointed. With myself in a certain way that it's not. But I think I'm also learning that this is part of the business, part of the game. And so as I said, though, I'm encouraged and I'm hopeful that we can get it done. You know, we'll see. We've got a couple hours.
All right, we good?